The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line, in session through till one, whatever's on your mind. Whatever you want to get off your chest, this is the place to do it. You can call 66 13 68, email studio at manxradio.com, text 166177, or WhatsApp 166177 if we're in your contacts file. So it's a lovely day today. And we've mentioned many times about the fact that people are leaving the Isle of Man, that it's difficult to get young people to actually stay on the Isle of Man. I just wonder what your thoughts on, we've talked about it several times this week, whether anything's filtered through to your consciousness and you think, I've got the way to do it.
A lot of our younger people go off to university and they don't ever come back. And that is draining the knowledge base that we have on the Isle of Man. Now, we don't have natural resources. We don't have gold. We don't have diamonds. But we do have young people. And if we can keep them, they will drive our economy in the future.
That's Douglas North MHK, John Wannenberg, one of the two Douglas North MHKs. And how do we keep young people on the Isle of Man? How do we grow the economy, as it were, from inside? More on that later on. First of all, Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Another lovely day. Looks like we're going to have a good run of weather here.
Beautiful.
Geothermal energy. I was listening yesterday when you're talking the conversation with Graham Fox-Hume. We did mention this a little while ago, but it seems a really good thing to do. And I mentioned the last time that Southampton City Council has been running a 100% reliable geothermal energy system for the past 36 years. And that borehole and the pipe that went down it was installed at a depth of just over 2 miles into the hot, dry rock below. So something similar to what we've got here. And that facility is fairly small. It was a sort of a trier, but it's basically supplied a 53-acre West Quay shopping centre, the Solent University Olympic swimming pool, and the diving complex that goes with that, Royal South Hampshire Hospital, the Civic Centre, 5 hotels, and public and private sector housing. And that facility is about 1/8 of the size of Pullrose Power Station's site. And I think to date it's cost about $13 million. So I think Pullrose ended up costing over $150 million. Of course, it generates more, but then you'd scale this one up. I've also noticed, though, more recently, last June, Stoke-on-Trent City Council has granted a planning approval for a new deep geothermal energy project in the Etruria Valley using latest new drilling techniques, which they reckon can go down as 12 to 14 miles deep, because, of course, the deeper you go, the warmer it gets, and then you start getting into serious amounts of steam pressure for, you know, you're able to drive bigger generators and get more power. I also noticed on that program yesterday that Graham Fox-Hume was asked, why hasn't one been done on the island before? And I think probably the actual answer is, once you've built one and you're throwing water down it and it's getting superheated and the steam's coming back up, there's no need to fuel it. So there's no financial revenue, is there? Unlike things like wind turbines and solar panels that need vast amounts of resources to build. Do you remember? I mean, I think 3/4 of the mass of a wind turbine is steel. And a half of the weight of steel is coal required to make it. Yeah. And with the concrete, I mean, some of the new turbines have got 5,000 tons of concrete in the base, and 1/4 of that requires that weight in coal. So there's an awful lot of fossil fuels that are required to make these turbines and solar panels. You know, there's specialist quartz you need for the good quality glass on the solar panel fascias. So you are looking at something with geothermal. Once it's in, you don't really have any more costs on it. It just sort of just keeps producing free energy from courtesy of the geology underneath the ground.
And therefore, Julian, when we hear things like that, the fact they don't need any fuel, and obviously they're immune then to cost fluctuations, it sounds a bit too good, doesn't it? It sounds like this is free energy. And that's where people will kind of narrow their eyes and think, well, there must be a catch to it somewhere. What's the downside of geothermal?
The downside of geothermal is perhaps just perceived. I mean, I think somebody mentioned yesterday, you were saying about, oh, we don't want to drill. Well, if half the weight of the steel in a turbine is made from coal, are you going to if you stop coal mining, you're not going to be able to make wind turbines. So how are you going to stop drilling if you're going to make renewable energy perceived equipment? Or if are you going to stop mining quartz so you can't make the glass to put on the front of solar panels? Or are you going to stop mining indium to make the circuits? Or are you going to stop mining lithium to make the batteries to make the electric cars?
And again, this may be the case that the fact is it's pure ignorance. I mean, we're ignorant of geothermal. It's not a fact of life. Obviously, in the United States, places like Iceland, they live and breathe geothermal. So it's
not just Iceland. I mean, the Philippines have got, I think, the largest geothermal production system on Leyte Island. I think it's L-E-Y-T-E. And they produce almost a gigawatt of power from that, and they've been doing it for a while.
So what do you think, Julian, what do you think the Manx government should be doing this? Is this something that £42 million from the Green budget could look at?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've not actually ever heard any of the politicians what their take is on looking at geothermal energy, because it looks to be something without any downsides. You haven't got emissions. I mean, you're literally just heating water up, courtesy of the earth, and making steam that then starts as a generator that then makes power. And if you put it in the right place, like Southampton has, you've got a building that's something similar to, like, I don't know, the build centre or something, that's running quite a lot of stuff around it. I mean, if you sunk one of those in at Pullrose, in a part of the area, if they've got a spare bit, you'd have the distribution ready as well, because you just shove it into the steam generator and away you go, and you've got all the distribution of the cabling from there already. So I think I'd like to have the take on, say, the Green Party's attitude towards geothermal, because I've not heard anyone comment on it
yet. Well, that's certainly, we're hoping we'll do another Green Future programme in the near future, and I think this is the important point, that we just need to get as much information out as possible so people can make the choice. And the fact that up until a few days ago, until Mr. Fox Hume, we spoke to Mr. Fox, and I have to say, he sent an email into Man in Line about a month ago, and that's where all this came from. He contributed to Man in Line, we contacted him, and the conversation moves on from there.
He makes a lot of sense.
Okay, thanks, Julian, we appreciate that.
Thanks very much, Andy. Cheers.
Good to talk to you now. Howard's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Sorry to come on again. People think I'm living up there. No, just listen to that. The geothermal, it's been, as Julian just saying, it's been around a long time in various parts of the world. And if you look at the films where in New York and places where the steam is coming up through the streets, it's a very similar situation. But, and this will probably raise a smile amongst your listeners, many years ago, and it could be a figment of my imagination, the power station and the Douglas Corporation, when they owned it, the corporation owned the power station in Douglas before it became MEU or MUA, they suggested, and this is going back to when the old houses were in Pullrose, where the grass plot is now, of introducing hot water from the power station to give central heating to the houses on a closed circuit basis. Now, whether that's something, it was one of these grand schemes that the council were thinking up at the time, or it was actually envisaged. So maybe your listeners, listen to me, listen to that old fool talking a load of rubbish again, but if they would just either confirm or deny it. And that way, the idea was mooted many years ago to introduce or reintroduce heat to houses. They were using a similar proposition to pre-warm the water for the NSC. Now, I say, I don't know whether that's still in use or not, but that was with a series of pipes, the hot water going through it from the engines, preheating the water that was in the pool, no contamination because they never came in contact, and that would be discharged then. And it was a second use of hot water instead of it going straight to the river.
I think, and wasn't something mentioned when they were building the incinerator about using some of the heat from the incinerator?
Well, that's where they call it the energy from waste now.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah, I don't know whether they still do them or not, but many years ago, they used to do tours of the incinerator. And you think to yourself, oh, it's just a big place, so don't waste and burn it. But it's a brilliant, amazing place. And you go from the top to the bottom, and it's a proper guided tour. Has to be arranged, of course, you can't just go down. But they use the heat from the incinerator. Again, I think it's a generator steam. There's a separate section out the back. And this then has the generators there, and they're generating a reasonable amount of power. And that there is helping sometimes when this interconnector, they will ship the power away. And what do they get? Something like £3.5 million last year or something from the energy from waste. That's why they don't call it the incinerator any longer.
Okay.
But the other one where they were up at Solby, when they built the dam up there, that just downriver of the dam, there was a hydroelectric. And essentially, it was costing as much or using as much electricity as they were generating to pump the water back up to the dam. So I don't think that was successful.
No.
But okay. If you just lead out the question there, it probably something that was imagined, but also something that the town council suggested of using the heat coming, the waste heat coming from the power station when it was oil and coal fired.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend now.
And you. Take care.
All right. Bye. Cheers now. David's with us on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Two black marks, one for you and two for Howard, because he said incinerator, it's an energy from waste facility.
Oh, sorry about
that. Turns,
I'm getting everything wrong today.
In these modern days. So I just want to, and I'd love to talk next week about that. It'd be a good little subject to talk about energy. Where are we going? What is our plan from up the hill there? Which is the road we're going to take?
Well, I think the point is, you know, we can sit like King Canute on the beach, but the future is coming towards us, and we can either take the future we're given or we can do something about it.
Do you know what it is? My prediction, I'll put money on it, is we'll have another cable. We'll have to have another cable going into the UK or somewhere else, and we'll be shunting nuclear down the line, and it's going to be electric. Things are going to be electric all the time. You can see it now. High-efficiency radiators are coming, which are electric. And if the government use their common sense, we can have off-peak. But and I'm wandering off on a different subject, but I'll talk about that next week. I just want to come back to yesterday where the stats came out for people who have passed away, died.
Yes.
There was an inference there. And I've been asked the question, could I raise it, is can you not get any more stats or not? And they come out with certain people of age groups and underlying issues. And it's not just because I think because of COVID, but you can't get to the nub of the issue is whether somebody had COVID within 3 or 4 or 6 months, does that still count and they just stamp it as a COVID-related death?
Well, the only stats we get now is the later, it's the weekly public health report that comes out. So that comes out every Thursday, sometimes first thing on a Thursday, sometimes last thing on a Thursday. And we have to dive down into that and try and decipher what's inside that. Yeah. That's what we get.
Yeah, and I just wonder whether the government should be doing that anymore now. Because I think sometimes there's a population there. If people fall ill, go into hospital, they must be worrying all the time or going to hospice. You know, not everybody is on death's door, and then people can get better. We are fragile. Human bodies are fragile. That's the other issue. But, Andy, can I quickly switch over to, sorry for that, and taking up time as well. But I was listening to about the traffic wardens are being seen if anybody's got their tax up to date.
Yeah.
Right. Why do we have computers and why do we have the camera system that the guy sits out in the road and records all the vehicles thing? Why aren't we using the computer to search to say, now it's 3 months, how many vehicles? And you can do it by CC, you can do it by commercial vehicles, you can do it by motorcycles. and put a letter in the post to the last known address. At least you'll find out whether the vehicle's been sold or not. It just seems silly to me. We're using traffic wardens to go out into private car parks to see if a tax disc is correct or not. Why aren't we using technology?
Good point. Good point, David. All right. Have a good weekend now.
Same, boy. Bye.
Thanks for that. In Iceland, says Ian, they use geothermal for heating pavements, under pavement heating, as well as everything else that they use it for. Perhaps this is something we need to look at. And obviously, when we do the next Green programme, we'll chat to politicians. We'll find out whether geothermal, and according to Mr. Foxhum, obviously, we have a gift from nature. Our geological makeup means that geothermal could be a real winner for us. So we'll think about that. Some message in the state of the Manx roads. Port St Mary High Street, Athol Street are in serious need of repair. The potholes are horrendous. Cars and motorcycles risk serious damage. Port St Mary High Street and Athol Street. The problem is, regarding young people staying on the Isle of Man, there aren't enough apprenticeships being offered to inspire young people. We need to continue building and maintaining our infrastructure to keep life continuing and progressing to the future ahead. Well, not specifically apprenticeships, just to move on to another subject, but there's no work experience this year. So there will be no work experience. So young students who want to get into work for a week or so, just get some experience of the industry and commerce, can't do it. So that's just one little bit of the jigsaw missing. Daniel dropped a note in from Berwick. I'm on holiday in the UK, and I agree there's little here for families anymore. People drive too fast through the villages, and you don't feel safe crossing the roads like years ago. We haven't seen many police about on the Isle of Man like we used to be, and I think the Isle of Man is actually losing a bit of its charm. And that's a real shame. So, what do we do about speeding? Do we have a problem with speeding?
As a recent resident of the island, 3 years, I'm astounded at how badly people do speed. Even in narrow roads where there's parked cars, it's just daft.
I don't know, I don't think they need to be restricted anymore, the speed limits and stuff, but maybe people just need to start sticking to their limits more.
A lot of people do it, and I think people just need to be more careful. Yeah, I mean, we nearly got sort of taken out this morning with somebody speeding around a roundabout, and they almost didn't have enough time to stop.
You know, some other countries, you have police on the streets stopping cars and, you know, watching them. Here, you don't see them that often. So some young, you know, people who drive and they just go how they want.
I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding speeding. Is it bad driving? Is it speeding? What is it? A note in just said, Andy, I'd like to see a 15 miles per hour, maybe 10 miles an hour with cars in Peel. People drive too fast, and the people on the Peel breakwater absolutely fly along. So the fly along the promenade with children crossing the road. 10 miles an hour in Peel, says that correspondent. Bonzo joins us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, talking about geothermal energy as opposed to wind and things. Okay, yes, geothermal energy has its advantages. But Julian's argument, which seems to be, oh yeah, well all you have to do is dig a hole and then it all comes out. And no worries, it's not going to cost you anything. No, I think that's pretty specious.
I think we take as read, Bonzo, everything's going to cost something.
Well, yes, you have to have the infrastructure to harness the power. Okay, you could, you know, then, as the Icelanders do and such, take the high pressure steam and use it directly for heating. But then you need a high pressure steam pipe work, and that has to be maintained, you know, and that obviously costs. Then, of course, you have if you're going to harness it conventionally, in electricity generating, you then take the high pressure steam to a power station, which you then shove through steam turbines, etc., and all that infrastructure still has to be paid for, still has to be maintained, you know, and has a life and stuff. So, yeah, again, it's, you know, yes, it's one way of doing it, but also you've got the cost of actually getting to the geothermal source in the first place. Now, if you're going to go down to sort of get those temperatures, I don't know how far you have to drill down here to do that. So, you know, obviously, the deeper down it goes, in order to try and harness it, the more it's going to cost to do that. And also, of course, that takes time. Whereas the wind, you know, onshore wind, well, yes, we can have that running, as I've said before on the program, we can have that running from, you know, green light approval to do it, and, you know, then the power coming through the plugs. That can happen in 18 months.
But do you think, I mean, do you think there's an appetite for onshore wind on the Isle of Man?
I think there's an appetite for anything that brings bills down, and brings bills down fast. And that's what the onshore wind would be able to do, because that can take some of the load off the CCGT at Pull Rose, so it's not consuming so much gas, and the gas it's taking is only to maintain the base load.
But
so, that can then, even when you feed in the costs of wind power, which, you know, then might be being sold by whoever will develop it,
yeah.
Onshore wind, then being sold into MUA, even when you put those costs in, that will at least help to keep costs as they are, if not reduce them, probably reduce them a bit, but it will stop costs power escalating.
Okay. All right, Monja, thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate that. 28 minutes past 12. A note in from Terry, who just said, I've been looking at this ever since that guy was on Man in Line talking about geothermal energy. I've been reading a lot about it. And apparently, says Terry, as a source of renewable energy for power and heating, geothermal has the potential to meet 5% of global demand, just 5%, with economic incentives. It's estimated that by 2100, it'll meet 10% of global demand. But the important thing is, regarding greenhouse gas emissions, and this is the whole race towards net zero, the greenhouse gas emissions of geothermal electric stations are on average 45 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour of electricity, less than 5%, a 20th of coal-fired power stations. We don't know in regard to gas, as we have. But the story regarding geothermal moves on. And what are your thoughts about speeding on the Isle of Man? What do we do about speeding? The MHK, Jason Morehouse, the Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, was among those calling for action to be taken. In 2020, a traffic study in St Mark's, leafy St Mark's, showed motorists driving in excess of 90 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone, leading for calls for more to be done to enforce the speed limit. Jason Morehouse is going to be asking the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, for an update in this month's Timbal sitting. And Jason Morehouse spoke about the problem of speeding.
It's just disappointing, really. We've had several false dawns in terms of updating the planters in sorting out the solutions, and the minister was really positive in December. The officers met with the commissioners in early December, and there was this kind of belief that residents were going to be spoken to in January, and everything would move forward, and kind of 20 weeks on, we're no closer, and it's just frustrating, because it's not a big change, it's just simple solutions to quite a significant problem.
I think it was just under 2 years ago we heard about a traffic study in St Mark's that saw some drivers doing around 90 miles an hour through a 30 zone. Are you surprised that this hasn't been given higher priority at this point?
Yeah, it is frustrating. I did meet with the residents just after our data came out, and we looked at a solution, and we then had the representatives from infrastructure coming in talking to local people. We came up with a nice solution. We thought that would be implemented, and as DOI often do. They got the consultants in, and the consultants came up with a report, and that's just been filed away. So we've kind of moved on 3 years, and we're now close to what we were, and it's quite disappointing because the residents really did work hard and suggest positive things that could be done at a low cost. And, you know, in the intervening period, the plant has looked worse. One of them has been completely destroyed. You just think, let's get this done.
In the 2 years since we heard about that data with the 90 mile an hour issue, has the situation got better? Has it got worse? Or is it about the same?
I think it's quite similar, really. It's one of those issues that when there's major roadworks on the major roads going to Douglas, there's more people using it, and it then becomes more noticeable, and more of those works are online to happen later this year. And, you know, it would be really, really good if we could get suitable planters in suitable locations before that work's done. I'm concerned that kind of 20 weeks on from the minister saying action's going to be taken, we're no closer, because presumably once the residents have been spoken to, this equipment's got to be ordered and then put in place. It's going to take several weeks to actually do so. It's a case of, you know, sooner we can get action done, better the solution will be, hopefully.
Do you think this is a problem? Do you think there's too much speeding on the Alaman? I mean, perception is reality. Is there more speeding than there used to be now? A note in from Alexander, just listening from Loch Lomond, I heard mention of speeding drivers in the Isle of Man. I was over in January this year for the first time in a couple of years due to the pandemic, and I noticed the amount of cars on Manx Road, a huge increase in cars, I felt, and it's often interesting to get other people's view on this. More cars than ever on Manx Road, and I think there was speeding absolutely everywhere. Here's a note in from David, who just said, I had a consultation at Nobles a couple of months ago with what I thought would be a follow-up soon after to see if there was an improvement. Not so. An appointment came in the post for 9 months later. I've now received a letter announcing that that appointment is cancelled and booking me in for the end of March next year. 11 months. I suspect I'm just one of a huge number of people suffering this fate. Perhaps a slight change in the name, says David. Manx doesn't care. Well, they say they're spending a lot more money, and certainly the cataracts, they're putting more money into cataracts as well. But elective surgery, the endoscopy service, they say they're putting money into it. Well, I just wonder, is this your experience? Are you having problems with Manx Care at the moment?
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetters, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
Oh, not again.
Oh, that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy to get a greenhouse pane from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snowborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning, with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
You'll find a fantastic array of special events on the dining car this season, with themes and tastes ranging from old favourites like the pie and mash train and the curry club, to Go Greek, the tapas train, Indochina Express and much more. With tickets at just £32 per person for travel and a delicious two-course meal. For dates, times and bookings, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
Isle of Man Railways.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Talking about speeding, says this correspondent on 911. Coincidentally, Lazare Road in Ramsey is like a racetrack between noon and two. It's very scary for the schools on Lazare Road in Ramsey. Keep hearing about lowering the carbon footprint, and I believe we're importing coal from Australia for the steam train. Is that right? I asked my MHK, and he said it was probably right. So is that helping the carbon footprint? Well, it's got to run on somewhere. And I don't think, are there any coal mines left in Britain? Don't think there are there? So, well, there may be some open cast ones, but no deep mines left anymore. We're heading into spring now. The warmer weather is with us, and there comes a warning of a danger lurking in the grass. This time of the year, when spider-like insects called ticks, emerge. And some ticks can carry diseases, deadly diseases. Julia Knight is from Lyme Disease UK, and she spoke to Barry Redfern.
People contract it by being bitten by an infected tick.
Can you see these things?
At the nymph stage, which is about now, early spring, they can be as small as a poppy seed. And often people don't realise they've been bitten.
So do all these ticks carry this disease?
No, they don't. We reckon about 10% of ticks carry different bacteria, including the bacteria that causes Lyme disease.
Oh, so it's not just Lyme disease then?
No, so they've been found to carry other infections such as anaplasma. We've had the first recorded cases of babesia in the UK, and also tick-borne encephalitis. I think, I'm not sure if it was just one case. But which is a very common condition in parts of Europe.
What could happen to you if you got any of these diseases?
If not treated quickly, it can cause problems with the heart. It can cause problems with joints, so you get horrible arthritic type illness. And it can also affect the nervous system.
How do you prevent these illnesses from actually happening in the first place?
Well, the most important thing is to be aware. The thing to think about, if you think you might be going out in the sort of environment that you might get a tick bite, bearing in mind, so you normally would think of woodlands, heathlands, those sort of areas, but they have been found in urban parks and gardens. So it's good to be aware, and there's some easy steps you can take. So, for instance, if you were taking your family on a camping holiday, take insect repellent that works against ticks. Wear long sleeves and long trousers if you're going into very grassy areas, because ticks like to live on in long grass, and then they wait for a meal to go by because they're looking for a blood meal.
Now, we live on a small island. Do you really think that there's Lyme disease on the Isle of Man?
Well, as ticks are found all over the UK and the surrounding areas, I would definitely say that the risk of Lyme disease, although it might be low in the Isle of Man, it's still there. And certainly the Isle of Man government raises awareness of ticks and how to prevent tick bites on their official website.
And if you want more information about that, you can go to gov.im. You'll find the details on the search bar. Just put in ticks and a whole page comes up, and there's some downloadable documents about Lyme disease and ticks and your health. Obviously, ticks are small spider-like creatures that feed on the blood of animals, including yours. So go to gov.im and put in ticks, T-I-C-K-S, into the search bar.
Now is definitely the season to visit Ramsey Garden Centre, where there's something new and unique arriving in store every week. Right now, find a huge array of colourful summer bedding and basket plants, plus pots and ceramics for indoor and outdoor plants, lovely gift ideas, solar lights and fabulous garden decor. Visit us on Facebook to see what's new at Ramsey Garden Centre. For expert information, call 816 506 or take a trip to Ramsey Garden Centre, open 7 days a week on Albert Road.
Fly Guernsey Direct departing 22nd of July. Three-night packages from £517. Flight only £260. Call Richmond Travel or Manlink Travel for full details.
Hurry, only a few seats remaining.
Don't miss the Kane and Wicker furniture range in store at Miller Chaps of Ramsey, including sofas and chairs, dining sets and coffee and side tables with designs featuring quality frames, beautiful fabrics, comfortable fully sprung seats with leather binding and a huge range of window blinds to complement. Discover exclusive Kane and Wicker furniture now at Miller Chaps.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chaps. Ramsey.
Alexa, tell me how to win a Sonos One speaker.
She can't help, but Manx Radio can. We've got together with Manx Telecom for another great spring winning weekend. We'll be playing sounds from different gadgets this weekend, both on air and on Manx Radio's Facebook page. If you know what they are, text your name and your answer to 166177. Then be listening to Monday's breakfast show to see if you're a winner. And for great deals, free gifts and top-of-the-range gadgets and handsets, visit mt.im.
Alexa, play the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Manx Music Festival is back, brighter and busier than ever, with 8 days of local talent on stage in the Villa Marina, singing, dancing, playing, acting, reciting, composing, miming, joking, and even reading the news. And Manx Radio will be there every day, bringing the Guild to you, the winners, the skeet, the new faces, the familiar friends. Updates with your breakfast, then nightly at 9 and online at manxradio.com for podcasts to listen when it suits you and new for this year. Hear it and see it with daily videos on our YouTube channel. Full coverage only on Manx Radio, your Manx Music Festival station.
Manx Radio coverage of the Manx Music Festival is brought to you with Spectrum Windows. Find them on Facebook or spectrumwindows.im.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Lots of comment about speeding in a lot of roads on the Isle of Man. You can't drive at much more than 40 miles per hour, but to make the speed limit 40 will be crazy. Bikes and tractors and other slow-moving transport move at 25 miles per hour or so. There are very few places on the island you could stay under 40 miles an hour and overtake. Remember the long lines of traffic and very frustrated drivers we had we last had 40 on the island, says Bob. More messages. And I don't dispute drivers are driving through St Mark's, but to do 90 miles per hour through there, you'd need to employ the services of a highly skilled rally champion. Well, maybe it was one. Where was the speed detector, says that. Well, there was a speed detector for a while in St Mark's, wasn't there? Maybe on the approach from Foxdale, possibly. The cardboard policeman with a camera does work, I think, says David. If a roadside in a village says 30 miles an hour, says Pete, that's the maximum speed you must go. There's no reason why you can't go slower, say 20 miles an hour, because a speed limit isn't a target. It's the limit. I suggest we have an all-island speed limit of 40 everywhere with speed cameras and fines for speeding, says Ian. The cameras could be working cameras plus some dummy cameras, so you couldn't tell which was which. On the island this size, there's no need for anybody to go faster than 40. Going through villages, says this correspondent, it's Pat, it says 30. Shouldn't it mean 30? And Bob says, how about the new test centre installing speed inhibitors on all new cars entering the island? Well, that's one of the new things that's coming in, speed inhibitors. Job done, no more speeding, motorists put on leases just like they deserve. To the people who speed, there were some people who will always speed regardless of what's done. It's like people who drop litter, people who sell drugs or drink drive or drug drive. They know it's illegal. They just do it anyway. If the sentences were immediate and harsher, then it may have an effect and reduce numbers by doing so. But it won't eliminate the problem. I just wonder what you think about whether that should happen. If somebody is caught speeding, if their license is taken away from them straight away, for a short time, maybe a month, 28 days, 56 days, and then, but that's the whole point of getting to 12 points. You know, somebody who says, I'm on 6 points, so it doesn't matter. I can get another speeding ticket. What do you think about this? Do we take speeding seriously enough? I also want to talk about this concept, and I didn't know this was happening. Maybe you did. But it's the concept of selling stuff from recycling centres. This has come up. The island's civic amenity centres offer reuse facilities where you can drop off items you don't need and others can make use of. But there are concerns that some people are taking advantage of this reuse facility to make a profit. Our local Democracy reporter, Sarah Hendy.
Nowadays, it's not uncommon to have a limit set on your browsing time, as civic amenity sites work to inhibit people making a habit of selling reusable items or even developing businesses around the practice. In Wednesday's sitting of Ramsey Town Commissioners, Leonard Singer shared his concerns.
I realise that this has got two sides of the story, that there's various opinions. It was my own personal opinion. If I've got something that I've no longer got any use for, that I would take it to the civic amenity site for somebody else who might find it useful. For my own personal opinion is that I don't take it there for somebody else to come along, pick it up and resell it at a profit for themselves. Now, I realise that the other side of the story is people say, well, if it's not picked up, then it costs the council, the commissioners, to dispose of it.
There's no legislation around this. The commission can remind people, can discourage people from these practices.
It's a principle, the principle that I've got myself. And then, as I say, other people, I know other people have the opposite view.
Douglas Borough Council agree that while no legislation exists to prevent such entrepreneurialism, it does go against the spirit of the reuse centre. Alan Grace is chair of the Southern Civic Amenity Site.
I've not heard of anything like that in Port St Mary, so hopefully that's not going on and people can, you know, bring stuff and it's been reused and people get the benefit of it.
Ultimately, it means that it's not going into landfill. So for the civic amenity site, it's a positive that it's gone at all, that it's gone in the first place.
Well, you can imagine the costs, and not just in diesel and wages and the environment as well, transporting things around the island. And then they're getting burnt. So, and landfill, as you say. So we'd encourage everyone to use the amenity sites around the island as much as possible.
On Strand Street yesterday afternoon, I heard mixed views.
I absolutely disagree with that, and I actually don't like it. I'd rather give my stuff to the charity shops now. It's absolutely disgusting. They're standing there waiting now.
I think as long as somebody gets use out of it, that's fine. If somebody's given it away, they don't want it.
There is so much at the amenity site that most of it gets burned anyway. So.
Yeah. And it's quite enterprising, so I don't object to it at all.
Well, I don't think they should. It's not really right because we should all be helping each other, shouldn't we?
Any thoughts on the matter? Call 66 13 68. Should people resell stuff that they've taken from reuse facilities at the civic community sites? Any thoughts? Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Lots of photographs appearing on social media of the new driving test centre up at Tramode. I wondered if you'd seen any of them.
We've seen. It looks very swish.
It does, doesn't it? And one thing that struck me was the massive roof area.
And what didn't it have on the roof?
Well, I can only see one side, but the side that I can see doesn't have any photoelectric solar array. Don't know about the other side. Maybe somebody can come on and tell us, does it have a solar array? Or if not, why not? Because otherwise, lip service comes to mind from the government. They're paying lip service. If they can't even put a solar array on a brand new building with a massive roof area, there's no hope, is there?
Well, you would think government would. I mean, it presumably it's joined up enough to do this, or there's some edict goes out that says that if government's responsible for a new building or has jurisdiction over something, that they'd put solar panels on.
It's lip service. That's all it is. It's lip service. It's a climate emergency, and we've had this debate on the programme before. What is an emergency? What isn't? These people, they just don't know what they're doing.
Okay, all right, Andrew, thanks for calling.
Thanks, now.
We appreciate that. A note in from Joe in Peel said, I don't want my dog anymore on Peel Hill. It had four ticks there yesterday. Why did the traffic lights not go up at Ballasalla roundabout on the 19th of April, says Michael? Because Dandara decided they weren't going to put them up. Dandara were the people, I think, responsible for that, but it's not happened anyway. I had an endoscopy recently. I only waited weeks, and it went perfectly. Very streamlined. Betty, very happy, Betty. Thank you for that. Southern Amenity Site hasn't got a recycle unit, hasn't had one for 2 years. So nobody's allowed to take anything from the Southern Site, says Mary in Colby. Worse... I don't think this is any worse than people who buy from charity shops or auctions or car boots and sell more for wherever they can, says Ali. So happy enough for people to take reuse stuff from the civic community sites and sell them on. You got any thoughts on the matter? Here's a note in that just says, one of the skips problems, the Ramsey skips, the appalling way the commissioners run the skips in Ramsey, this is. And some people grab the best things for themselves and save them and dump the rest in the skips. Is that true? Says Chris, this is. I'd take stuff to the tip because I don't want it and I can't be bothered selling it. Once it's on the table, I don't care. What's to say the person selling it doesn't need the money? And how can legislation stop it, unless you put police there watching it? Would seem a bit heavy-handed, wouldn't it? A quick note, by the way, if you want to meet a consultant, and it's always good to get information out, one of Manx Care's consultants is going to be a guest speaker next week. It's on Thursday, 28th, next Thursday at the Palace Hotel in Douglas. It's at 7:30 p.m. and it's the Cancer Services User Forum. The Cancer Services User Forum's Meet the Consultant event. Bahas Hussain, who's a consultant urologist, going to be talking about cancers affecting the lower half of the body with a particular focus on prostate cancer. Now, if you want to find out more about it, this is a charity, the Cancer Services User Forum. The charity holds frequent Meet the Consultant events where you can go along and meet clinicians and other practitioners who deliver cancer services across the Isle of Man. It's informal, it's a very relaxed environment. There's an opportunity for an informal question and answer session as well. So it starts at 7:30. It's next Thursday, the 28th, at the Palace Hotel in Douglas. If you want to meet Baha Hussain, the consultant urologist, you can get more, by the way, by going to Manin Cancer Support Group's Facebook page. Some more messages in concerning the ticks are already around, and wait until the they start spreading, says Rob in Oncombe. Interesting to hear the guy talking about the geothermal stuff. There is, I believe, a potential aquifer site below the airport. On a side note, the NSC, a flume fane, was originally fed by waste heat from the power station. It's consequently been ripped out. Is this backwards engineering? Says Beanie. A report was done by a consultant to supply the same waste heat to the Paul Rose estate. And that was going to be built when that was rebuilt at the time. Douglas Corporation apparently binned it in favour of a gas boiler scheme. Apparently they were offered a big discount on the boilers. Lastly, the energy from waste plant, I think, says Bean, hasn't worked properly for years now. Will it? I've not heard about that. Who owns it now? Is it Royal Bank of Scotland owns the... don't say incinerator. Energy from waste plant. But all this... shows that we have to get more information on our green future. We're all being told from every side that we have to reduce our carbon footprint. Now we know what it is, 804,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide per year. And I did have an interesting note in from Maddie, who said earlier on this week, just find the one from Maddie, and it says, yes, you talk about the carbon footprint that we've got. Nobody ever talks about mitigation. We have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of trees on the Isle of Man. Is our carbon footprint a sum of what we create and what we mitigate with what we've got, i.e. stuff that uses carbon dioxide? And remember, says Maddie, carbon dioxide isn't all bad news. It's like love. too much will kill you, but you do need some in the meal. It's a very nice way of putting it. Thank you, Maddie. We appreciate that. One man's rubbish is another man's treasure. Times are hard and about to get harder, says Texter 476. People are and will be forced to make a little cash any way they can. My home's partly furnished with what I can get from the amenities centre. I've also sold a few bits from the amenities at car boots. Unfortunately, I feel sometimes jealousy can rear its ugly head when people can make a few quid. Tell them to mind their own business, says Texter 476. Dave said, if it burns stuff, it's an incinerator. End up with energy from waste plant, please. Cost us a fortune. I think it's quicker to get the tax dodgers than the cars off the road the way they're doing it as well. Says Dave regarding the fact that people are going around now checking car tax lists. Regarding young workers returning, I know a young graduate who returned from university with great grades, hung around working various jobs till a good position came up, but as usual, the job was given to somebody who was retired, says Jack in Port St Mary. Well, that's it. Thanks to Barry Redfern, producer of Man in Line All This Week. Have a great weekend.
W I